Hey everyone, welcome back to Brave by Design. I'm your host, Laura Khalil, and many of you know me as the woman who is doggedly determined to help women rise. I have got my eye focused on that prize. That prize for me anyway is helping women get past, leap over that $1 million revenue mark in their business. Currently, only 2% of women-owned businesses do that. It's about 3.5 to 4 times higher for men. And so let's rebalance those scales of financial justice, yo, okay? Where are my bitches at? We got to ride. That's what I'm really focused on in my business. That's what I love to help women do who are creatives, who are consultants. And I want to thank you for being here with me again this week. So first thing before we get into the episode, if you like this show, if you enjoy the stories, if you're learning things, you mind giving us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts? That really, really helps the show grow. Your reviews are awesome as well. And I love to highlight them in social media and just hear what you're learning. So if you do that for us, it really means a lot. Second thing I want to let you know is I said at the beginning, like, hey, helping women surpass that $1 million mark. And you may be in business and be like, Laura, I'm just surpassing 100K right now, or I'm just surpassing like 150. And I can't see how I could get to a million. Like, that, is that for me? And I just want to address that quickly because, yeah, it is for you. And not everyone starts, you know, and goes from 100K to $1 million overnight. We take deliberate steps. So what I like to do with women, the first thing is I like to get them, if you're in the $100,000 to $150,000 mark and kind of stuck, we want to double your revenue at that point. Okay. And we use different strategies at different levels of the game. But the thing that will happen as you grow your revenue from, let's say, 100,000 to 250 to 5 to a million is you're going to need systems and you're going to need a strategy, okay? So if you're like, I'm kind of curious, I sort of want to figure out what that would even look like in my business to double my revenue from where I currently am, head on over to bravebydesign.net, because right on the homepage, right at the top of the homepage, we have a free resource to show you how easy it can be to take your existing business and double your revenue. And you can figure this out. It's this amazing resource we have. It's like this super fancy calculator that makes doing numbers really easy. And so, like, if you're like, I hate numbers, I don't want to look at a calculator, this is the easiest calculator you're ever going to see, because I've done all the work on the back end. So you actually get to figure out, let's say, how much of this do I need to sell? How much of that do I need to sell? Taking out the taxes for you, taking out the expenses for you to hit that number. It's amazing. It's simple to use. And it's over at bravebydesign.net. I think you guys might kind of enjoy it. Okay. So now that I've got that out of the way, I want to talk to you today about something that actually happened last weekend. My friend Anne Marie, it was her birthday. And I had heard of this idea called a yes day. And I don't know if any of you have heard of this, but a yes day is a day where you just say yes to trying new things, to doing new experiences, even things you wouldn't normally do. And so for her birthday, I said, hey, Anne Marie, why don't we do a yes day? And she was like, I'm totally into it. There's so much stuff I want to do with you. I'm going to come up with a plan and Laura's going to say yes to it. And this is how I found myself in a 7-foot pit of phone. Let me repeat myself. I can't even say it. This yes day is how I found myself in a 7-foot pit of foam cubes, unable to get out and really questioning my life choices. Okay, so that's kind of where the yes day went, but let me back it up for a second and tell you what happened the morning of our yes day. So we started our yes day at the zoo, which is not an activity that I would normally do. I am really not much of a fan of zoos, but it was her day, so I'm saying yes and we're going for it. And you know, I was really glad I went. It was a gorgeous day, and we went to the butterfly sanctuary, and it was such a treat to experience these little beautiful creatures humming all around us. I really enjoyed that. We had brunch with friends. We went to an art fair. And then after all that, the next thing on our agenda for the yes day was to do something I would really never normally do. And that's to go to a trampoline park. Now, I am in my 40s, and these did not exist when I was a kid. I feel like is it the last 10 years they've come around? For those of you around my age, you probably remember the roller rinks. That's where we had parties and, you know, birthday parties and fun stuff. But I guess today it's the trampoline parks. But it was a yes day, so I was going to try it out. So we arrive at the front desk of this trampoline park, and the building is painted in these like bright orange and blue colors. There are kids screaming everywhere as they run between the arcade games and the various trampoline areas. So we are given the signature orange socks we had to wear if you go on the trampoline. And I look around and notice that we are actually the only adults with orange socks on. In fact, we're the only people over the age of 10 to trampoline. So we fill out this liability waiver that, honest to God, was longer than a CVS receipt. And if you have been to CVS, you know what I am talking about. It is completely out of control. And I'm fairly confident that, you know, I have signed my life away. And based upon how long that liability waiver is, I am going to probably pull or sprain something in the process of just stepping onto the trampoline. Like, I'm a little nervous at this point. So I asked the attendant, I said, which trampoline activities do you recommend for women of an advanced age? And he smiled and kind of laughed at me. And he said, well, I really recommend you avoid the foam pit. It's really hard to get out of. So we take note of that. And actually, Anne-Marie had wanted to do the foam pit. She thought it would be like the easiest thing for us to do. So we were kind of confused as to how the foam pit would be so harrowing. But whatever, we moved and we left the sort of registration area. We started off in the basic trampoline area, bouncing and laughing. And actually, it was so much fun. And we did that for a while. And then we kind of threw caution to the wind and headed to the foam pit. I mean, avoid the foam pit? Who do you think I am? Do you think I am going to get trapped in foam? Have you met me? So I didn't really buy the hype. I'm like, oh, maybe like a lesser man or woman couldn't survive the foam pit, but certainly I can. So I went towards the pit of foam, jumping off the closest trampoline with glee, and immediately was swallowed up in a sea of blue and orange foam blocks. At this point, I just want you to fast forward 10 minutes. I'm not going to say that they needed to call the fire department to get me out. But while I was rolling my way through foam like a person on fire trying to put out the flames, I was sinking deeper and deeper into this pit. Meanwhile, Anne-Marie is at the edge on the trampoline screaming and laughing and telling me, use your knees to get out. Use your knees. I mean, there is no point in trying to stand because it would only make you sink deeper. So at some point in this frenzy of me rolling around trying to climb my way out of the pit, at least one of my orange socks, you know, comes off. And I'm wondering what else might be at the bottom of this pit. And I just was dying laughing at the absurdity of the situation I had put myself in. And Anne-Marie, in the meantime, she is lying on the trampoline in a fit of hysterics at watching her friend battle foam blocks. It was at this point that I thought I might just, you know, live out my life in the foam pit, because Laura's arm strength was simply not going to cut it to pull myself out. Finally, Anne-Marie grabs a gymnastics mat and pushed it halfway into the foam, creating kind of like a makeshift slide that I could be pulled up on slash climb up. Of course, all this is happening while the parents of the kids who are there are looking on, shaking their heads, wondering why in the hell these two middle-aged ladies are in this situation. None of them came to my rescue. So I climbed, was dragged out of this pit and lay on the trampoline floor just laughing hysterically. In fact, I don't think I've ever laughed so hard. There were tears streaming down my face with relief that I would not be living the rest of my life out in a foam pit, and just the joy and absurdity of the situation. I pulled myself back together. I wiped off the body lice, contact dermatitis, scabies, flesh-eating bacteria, and whatever else I undoubtedly encountered in the foam pit. And we continued on with our yes day. For me, this day will be burned into my memory as one of the funnest I've had in my adult life. Yes, really. I want to experience moments of that yes day every day. In my work, with my clients, in my personal life, I want to live life with wonder, joy, and lots of laughter. And I bet you do too. You know, I've been thinking about what made our yes day so much fun. And here are the seven elements that I believe, you know, made it such a memorable day. So the first one is say yes to doing something you've never done or wouldn't normally do and see what happens. Number two, surround yourself with people who will gladly join you for parts of the journey. Our day was so much fun. One, because, yeah, sure, we each could have done it alone, but it was fun to have someone there to partake in the fun with us. Number three, find something fun to do each week. And here's the key, with no goal associated other than your pleasure. In this society, we are so focused on only doing things we can measure, we can quantify, that have a purpose. And I want you to do something that is no other purpose than your joy, no other purpose than your laughter. Number four, remember to move, because man, does it feel so good. Number five, listen to people who know more than you. Or else, you know, you might end up in a foam pit waiting for a hunky fireman to save you. I mean, life could be worse, but seriously, listen to people who know more than you. Number six, laugh. Laugh at your follies, your foibles, your missteps. They really do make the best stories. And number seven, take risks, but have a friend, a colleague, or a coach who can help you get back on your feet when you fall. I think a lot about those parents watching me as I struggled to get out of that foam pit. You know, people rarely want to risk looking dumb or losing face, but sticking with the crowd means you'll never stand out. You'll never get to experience the joy that Anne-Marie and I experienced if you stay on the sidelines. If you think about our lives as the keys on the piano, there are 88 keys you can learn to play. I mean, certainly you can keep hitting the middle C over and over. It's safe, but it's pretty boring. Or you can learn to tickle the highs and dance with the lows, because together they form a masterpiece that's your life, a beautiful work of art that stands apart, finds joy in even the darkest days, and truly creates a life worth living. Being willing to risk looking dumb is one of the most fruitful endeavors you can take on. And with that, my friends, I wish you a wonderful week ahead. Remember to be brave and to find the joy.